Hello, and welcome to the Galvanize and Restore podcast. I am your host, Jessica Concepcion, delighted to share this time with you. If you haven't already, please remember to subscribe to the podcast so you can receive every new episode as they come out. A new episode releases every Monday. Today's episode is for all my church leaders, friends. So, I want to talk about something in particular. There's something I've noticed when I attend church. There exists absolutely no awareness of human trafficking. Like, it's not the fastest growing crime today, or like it's not synonymous with slavery. Although we all know slavery was abolished legally a couple hundred years ago, in 1863 in the United States, maybe not a couple hundred years, it's like been 150 plus years, slavery has found a sneaky way of camouflaging itself today, only being known to those who either participate in it or are administrating it. I see the need to talk about this subject in the church because of God's original plan and purpose for the church. What we are called to be is the light and salt of the world. The church was meant to be a house of prayer where anyone can connect to God and experience His amazing goodness. The church does well when we preach and teach about God and how to live a life that pleases Him, how to worship Him, and how to know Him, which is called discipleship. However, what I've not known the church to be is a place to find material needs. Yet the Bible discusses a lot on offering hospitality, giving, putting someone else's need before yourself, providing when you see someone else in need. There's a scripture that talks about this very thing, and it's found in Acts 2:42-47. And I'm reading from the ESV version. It talks about the early church and what they used to do together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. That part that stands out to me is, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I know that sounds a little bit extreme, sell everything you have, but these people were hungry. It seems like they lived really close together and that they kind of knew each other more than the average person, because they would be devoted to breaking bread and to praying together. So I think sometimes even in just getting to know one another can sometimes feel a little bit hard, but this was God's design for the church, to get to know one another and to have no fear in that. So I'm not suggesting the church become a request at your will, whatever you want, and it will be given to you type of shop. However, the atmosphere of meeting the needs of a congregation or community could really serve someone's heart and needs. Have you ever had someone do a kind gesture towards you? Whether it was something as small as holding a door open for you or giving you a ride to work. I know that one's can be kind of tough. And people have even actually done it for me. And when I was sharing a car with my brother, he had to drop me off one day because of an issue. And that was a blessing for me to experience. So things like generosity, when people sacrifice their time for us, those moments touch us as people, because it's a direct experience of someone sharing with you a moment where they put you first instead of themselves. Sometimes people are just naturally empathetic, where it's easy for them to connect the dots and see someone else's need. You know who those people are, the person who just meets the need. For some, though, it might not come so easily. And here's where culture really shows up, how we were raised and what our true values are. Our actions and our natural disposition reflect the culture that's built within us, which is lovely. But sometimes it doesn't really put others first. But for example, do you talk quietly in public or do you yell, like if there's no one else around? That's something you were probably taught by your family. There's things we are taught by simply observing or experiencing, and we learn how to behave in certain settings, like the library. We learn what to do, what not to do, how to go about our days, how to wake up in the morning. Do you eat breakfast? Do you not eat breakfast? The reason I mention culture is because the church also carries with it a culture. We create atmospheres every Sunday. Every Sunday, I definitely go to church and I'm, you know, the worship, praising, and then I know what's coming. It's going to be the offering time, and then I know the preaching's at the end, and then maybe they'll do an altar call and people come to the front. So that might be how my church is, but then your church might be like, you do some dancing in the worship, dancing, and then, you know, you don't even do an offering. You just go straight into the preaching, and then they just have like boxes at the entrances of the church so people can just drop their offering. You know, every church is different, but what type of atmosphere is your church creating? Do your church members want to serve others? And when I mean by serve, I mean not just within the church walls. I mean outside of church. Are they openly doing things just because it's a part of what's inside of them? Letting people cut them in line. I'm sorry, maybe not cut them in line, but for example, if you're at the grocery store and your cart is filled with things and someone's behind you and they only have like two things in their hand, would they let them be like pass them? You know, let them go ahead of them so they're not wasting so much time. I actually did that the other day. That's why the example is so funny to me, because I saw this lady. She literally had one thing in her hand, and I'm like, it's okay, you can go in front of me. She was blown away. She was like so happy, and I thought it was really cute. And then even after she paid, she like turned around and was like, God bless you, have a blessed day. And she was just so, I was like, you know, it touched me, because for me, I'm like, oh, you're good, like go ahead in front of me, it wasn't a big deal. But for her, it was so moving, and I was moved seeing her reaction to me just inviting her to go in front of me. It's so moving, and that's just like one small thing, but it's a part of, you know, the culture we create. I know in my church, they have like a mantra about serving others and being encouragers in the community. It's like, it's so cool. When I first started going, after every service, it's like, it's almost like a prayer, but it's like, help us to be the people of the church that we may always encourage and never discourage, that we may always build up and never build down. And then, I forgot the rest, but it's really, really memorable, I think, because it creates a culture in the church to be givers, to be with your hands open to serve others. And not saying that that it's a perfect church or anything like that, but it's just more of like talking about culture of giving and how it really does make a difference. Do your church members have a heart for those who are suffering in this world? I know a lot of people are connected to the news, so we either get our news from social media or watching TV in the morning. Sometimes we don't want to hear about the news, but for the most part, I feel like if there's something huge going on, for example, I know it's crazy right now with the war that just came out in first in Ukraine last year, but now Israel and Hamas and with Iran and all that. So there's a lot of suffering right now, and that suffering is very easy to talk about, but there's other types of sufferings that are happening daily outside of war, which have become things that kind of get swept under the radar and really do affect communities and our people. When I say our people, I just mean the people living in your neighborhoods. It affects people, like what's happening in their house, like how someone's mental health, financial situation, all these things affect us, and they affect one another because, you know, we're all connected. You know, we create, even within communities, like outside of the church, we have a culture here in America. So speaking specifically for the church, it's like, what kind of culture are we creating? And did you know that there's an estimated of 20% of Americans who attend church every Sunday? That is exactly 1 in every 5 people. And I think that's a lot, to be honest. I think that's a lot, considering that the total number of people in the United States is 331.9 million. So it's like out of that, 20% are attending church every Sunday. So the church, whichever church you go to, it's a huge part of, we make up a huge part of the population. So we can influence culture if we want to. So going on a little tangent here, have you ever noticed that Marvel fans tend to be hardcore ones? I could say also DC fans too. I heard someone once say that the reason we're so fascinated by Marvel and superheroes is because inside of us, there's a need to live for something more than ourselves. But not only that, we love seeing the main character go through their challenges and win. We enjoy seeing the hero's story develop, right? We are with them from the beginning until the end, crying with them. We're in pain when they're in pain. We encounter their weaknesses and their strength all at the same time. We could see their development. Typically in the Marvel movies, there's always a climax, but then there's also a point of the story where there's like a downfall of a character. They tend to go through their personal development issues right in front of us, and we witness how they overcome. In real life, though, experiencing trials typically makes us more self-focused, right, than it does other focus, like the superheroes. And the superheroes typically have some kind of resource or empowerment that helps them not only to overcome, but it gives them a reason to live for other people. It gives them a reason to use their powers for good. So we typically, on a normal basis, we typically see challenges or difficulties as being against us, leaving us feeling overwhelmed or asking the question, why me? But maybe it's because we haven't created or witnessed a culture outside of movies where putting others first is actually rewarded. In the movies, it typically is rewarded, you know? Or we could see that the rescue of someone save them, right? And there's like that reward. But what if the church became that culture? You see, the Bible is not a book to simply reflect on. It's a book of action. There is a scripture I love that talks about it. If you see a brother in need, don't go about saying, "Hope all goes well with you," and leave him suffering. It says that's not faith at all. That's actually considered dead faith. Your faith is dead. But the Bible says that when we hope for something, there should be action involved, especially if you see a need. Then you are displaying your faith by your actions versus just simply talking about your faith and not doing anything. It's insane. It's so deep. Many people who fall into victims of human trafficking in the United States are people just like you and me, except at the same time, they might be experiencing more vulnerabilities. their lives might have an excess amount of poverty, abuse, mental health issues, no social support, which put them at a higher risk of falling into the trap set out by traffickers around the world and also here in America. It's so important that you hear me when I say vulnerabilities such as poverty increases the risk of being trafficked. Us as the church can be so much more than what we have been. And just like the Marvel movies, the path to getting there involves sacrifice, planning, and teamwork. It's an organization, baby. It involves resources. It involves knowing who the enemy we are attacking is. So with that, it just means knowing how traffickers work, knowing that the trafficking system, it's a business. You know, the reason people traffic others is for income. They really are making money by selling other people. And being able to be the light also involves knowing what we want the outcome to be. When we run into different situations, when we're, for example, creating situations where, let's say I'm volunteering at church, I'm a greeter, and I'm welcoming people, and I see a family coming in that doesn't typically, you know, they kind of look out of place a little bit. They might look, you know, a little shaken up. They might be nervous. And I walk up to them, I just give them a hug, or I say, welcome to church, and, you know, can I help you find a seat? And I'm just talking to them. And then after service, I see them again, and I just say, hey, it was so great seeing you or meeting you, and thanks for coming. I'm so happy that you're here. And just me having that conversation with them is getting to know them, maybe seeing that they have a child with them, talking about their family. Maybe during that conversation, that person opens up and shares with me something private, something vulnerable, and says, hey, you know, I don't know if your church does this or not, but I actually have no money for groceries. I spent all my money on rent. And right now I'm just, you know, I'm kind of empty handed. And immediately, for example, if the church already had a plan for this, immediately I'm like, oh my gosh, no worries. You know, we actually have this program where if you sign up for us, we can actually give you 2 weeks worth of groceries. And, you know, we can also, if you need any help with, you know, what, you know, involved in like having that conversation, saying, hey, you know, what's your work situation, you know, or, you know, do you need help with the resume? How can we help you in that area? And these are really big, you know, these are really situations that are realistic. You know, there are people in the church who have these needs, but yet when they come to church, because no one knows them, they, you know, because maybe they don't have the opportunity to share and just, you know, share what's going on with them, they don't get that resource that they need because they don't know it might be that it's available to them. But what if the church became that resource community? And it's not just about being able to meet everyone's need, but it's about being able to, if we don't have the funds as a church to provide that need, hey, I know a community partner that you can turn to. Let me give you their contact information. And it's that church reaching out to a nonprofit or an organization that can aid, like directly aid this person. So this is where community actually becomes a community, where that need is met. And even though it changed, maybe it provided groceries for 2 weeks, but the fact that that happened can provide someone with so much hope and so much gratitude. Or, you know, they might at that point, you know, it impacts everyone differently. But I know that even I have been you know, I've received generously from others one time, I remember. And it's not, it's funny because it's not even like a huge deal, but I seriously was moved by it. So I went to Starbucks one day and I was ordering it was like a breakfast sandwich or burrito. And I also ordered like a chai latte. And the girl that was working, she was, this actually happened, I think it was this year. She was like, oh, the latte's on me. Like, it's, don't worry about it. And I was like, huh? And she's like, yeah, yeah, no worries. So I got the drink for free. And then, and it's crazy because she didn't do that only for me. Earlier, I was sitting outside and I saw a group of ladies, and one of the ladies went inside Starbucks to get a drink for the for all her friends. And she came out and she's like, hey, that girl inside gave me like an extra drink. She just said I can have it. And it was like, you know, she was just like so surprised or whatever, because they accidentally made a cold drink instead of a hot drink. So then she's like, oh, I didn't want a cold drink, I want a hot one. So they made the hot one too. And then the lady was like, you can keep both. So I didn't go inside thinking that I'm going to get anything for free. But when I went inside, the manager or lady was like, yeah, the drink's on the house. And I was like, what? You know, I was kind of like taken aback. And I'm not even saying, you know, I was in a need, you know, no one needs Starbucks, but any amount of generosity for me, it's like, wow, like you just threw me off there. I wasn't expecting that. So I feel like it's so cool that even just that thing can be so moving. But that, you know, that shows someone's heart. It shows someone's disposition, you know, as we spoke earlier. It's like there's a culture that that person has developed. I don't know if that money, like where that, you know, how that she was able to do that, you know, give out free drinks. I don't know. But it was really cool for me. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. Like, that's nice. Gave her an extra tip. So it's so cool that generosity really does affect people's hearts, and it can affect and impact someone's life in a more profound way than just a Starbucks cup, right? But there is some scripture that I would just like to close out with. And it's a couple of scripture that just talks about generosity and also how to be helpful. So in James 1:27, it says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. John 15:12-13 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. I love that one. Hebrews 13:1-2 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I love that one too. It's pretty cool. So we're really called to live with our hands open, you know, be receptive to others. Even when we're in need, sometimes God calls us to be there for others as well. When we have a need, we're called to be there for other people. And I know that this disrupts so many different ideas that we have about living, especially in America. We are not very prone to living in this way at times. We're very individualistic versus community focused, but yet at the same time, America is known to be generous, but that generosity usually comes from those who have millions of dollars. So it's, I think it's a challenge. as an individual, but also as a community, to see and ask ourselves, where can I meet a need? What can be put into place so that if a need arises, it can be taken care of, even to some extent? Because ultimately, God is the one who provides. And I really do believe that He supports churches that thrive in generosity and who are just generous givers who love to serve others. He loves that. And how will He not provide even more for those type of churches? Because he wants people to be blessed. He wants people to come to His church, right? To come to His house so that they can receive a good word. They can find hope and they can find joy and de-stress a bit. Learn from the pastors, learn from the church members, laugh a little, get to know new people. And it's not saying that the church is perfect at all, but I just want to let people know that as the church body, I believe we can be doing 10 times more than we are, especially in the area of human trafficking. We need some awareness signs. We need that because you never know if someone in the church is being trafficked. And that has happened as well. You know, if we're not bringing awareness within the church about this, then we're missing a huge opportunity to be a light in the community and to end this crazy, horrible crime that's happening in every state in the United States that's currently taking place as you listen to this. So we can do more. It is a challenge. It's a sacrifice. It's going to take planning. It's going to take teamwork. But there is an opportunity here. Let's not miss it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it leaves you inspired. I hope it leaves you thinking about ideas of maybe initiatives that you can bring to your local community, to your local church. I hope it gives you ideas even when you're in the grocery store or when you're driving, just bringing that kindness everywhere, putting a smile on someone else's face. It's not saying that it's always gonna be easy, but it's saying that God sees you and He rewards. He's the rewarder. We're not looking to get our validation from others. We do good things just because we know it's the right thing to do. So I hope that we're able to change culture, impact others around us, and impact even just our friends, our friendship groups and all that. So whatever community you're a part of, I hope you bring change into it and you're empowered to do that, and that you pray for those who are in charge so that they can have a compassionate heart for others as well. Enjoy the rest of your day, evening, wherever you're listening or whenever you're listening to this. Share with a friend. Follow me on Instagram. It's at Gal Restore, which is J-A-L Restore, R-E-S-T-O-R-E. And if you have any questions, send me a DM and I'll definitely get back to you. Have a great one. Bye.